I want to say thanks, of course, to all of those who minister in music. You are a blessing, accompanying the music and leading the music and all of that. I want to say thank you to Brother Phil for his work back there in the little booth and taking care of the sound and putting things up on the screen for us. It's a blessing, and we appreciate all the labor and work and love that goes into that, everything else that happens. Appreciate our church secretary and putting together the bulletin, and Brother Hallman's work in that. Everybody who has a part in the nursery and teaching a class, thank you for serving the Lord. Go to John chapter 15, if you would again. John chapter 15, we were there for a few moments this morning, and we were talking about love. Love is of God, for God is love. And we were talking about the need for us to comprehend with the Holy Spirit's help the magnitude of that love, and that if we did, it would enable us to be filled with His fullness, His love, and then we would be enabled to love. So I want to continue along that thought a little bit tonight. I want to preface my remarks by saying that we recently on a Wednesday night were talking about the subject of yokes. And we talked about the yoke of family. And we noted as we were talking about that, that relationships are the stuff of life. Life really is a series of relationships. When God made man, God came to walk and talk with man in the garden. That's a relationship. God made a woman and brought her to the man, and they were joined together, became one flesh, and they had a relationship. God said it's not good for man to be alone, not good for mankind to be alone, not good for an individual to be lonely or on their own or not be connected or not have relationships. Relationships are the stuff of life. And the closest and most important relationships, of course, are those of family. Mom and dad, husband and wife, brother and sister. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is what's important in relationships. You know, when you read the Bible does not say a lot directly about the home. It does address the duties of a husband and address the duties and responsibilities of a wife and address the responsibility of the children in obedience to their parents. But it does a lot of addressing of relationships. And those relationships are within the church, which by Bible definition is a family, brothers and sisters. And we dwell together in a family with God as our Father. So there's a lot said about relationships. And we're going to look at a couple of passages tonight. And I'm going to try to encourage you with a couple of thoughts about relationships. But we're starting in John chapter 15 and verse number 12. We read verse 9 this morning. I'll just start there and then we'll emphasize verse 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What a marvelous thought. Continue ye in my love. The word continue is a word which means to abide or remain or stay. Stay, abide, remain in my love. My heart tells me that the secret of continuance is to abide in His love. He's asking us to abide in His love, but I'm telling you, those that I know who continue on the Christian faith, who continue in the path of righteousness, are those who know the love of God. That love is what sustains them. That love is what gives them the joy of the Christian life and the courage to go on and motivation and reason to go on. And by the way, that's what will strengthen and keep going relationships in life. Love. Love will bind people together. And when love is consistently manifested and exercised, it is an encouragement to the loved to continue. But our Lord says, continue ye, abide ye in my love. Then He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. At first glance, and sometimes as we've heard it preached, we're thinking that in order to have His love directed toward us, we have to keep His commandments. But that's not what He's saying. He's saying, keep My commandments. If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love. It's when we keep His commandments that we enjoy, that we are aware of, that we have the consciousness of His love. His love is to us as the Father's love is to Him. Let me try to help you a little further than that. John 14, just over on, in my Bible, I don't have to turn a page. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said to His disciples, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." So, what is the occasion of my loving Him? Fast forward to 1 John chapter 4, where we were this morning. We love Him because He first loved us. So as the love of God is made real to us and magnified to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're strengthened in the inner man, our response is to love Him, to be filled with love in return to Him. And Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And then over here in chapter 15, He says, if you keep My commandments, you'll continue or abide in My love. And you want to be there. You want to continue in My love. I want you to continue in My love. But also in chapter 15, if you'll 14, actually, go down to verse 21. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. So as I respond to His love, loving Him, then that love is manifested by my keeping of His commandments. And then notice, going back over to chapter 15, He said, if you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I've kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And then He tells us, after telling us to abide in His love and keep His commandment, He said, this is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's what He commands us to do. And He said, if you keep My commandments, you demonstrate that you love Me and you abide in My love. You stay enveloped in My love, and My joy, the fullness of My joy, you experience, and your joy is made full. I didn't give you this verse this morning, but I reminded you that we cannot produce this love on our own. And Romans 5 and verse 5 is a verse I should have noted, and you might want to jot it down. Romans 5 and verse 5 says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He first awakens us to the love of God at Calvary and helps us to see it and overwhelms us with that love. And so we fall and confess our sin and receive the Savior. And then His continuing ministry is to make that love more and more magnified in our lives so that we are enveloped in His love and know how to love. So we're to love one another. And that should be the word that characterizes our relationship. And we said love is self-sacrifice for the needs or benefits of another. Having said that, let me give you three words tonight that I think are words that, I don't know how to say this, that define what our relationships need. How do we maintain healthy relationships, which is the stuff of life? And then you can make application in any area you want because you have all kinds of relationships. If you work, you have a relationship of an employee to an employer. If you are a business owner or you have a business, then you also have a relationship of an employer to employees. And we all have relationships as citizens to the government. And we have relationships of neighbor to neighbor. And we have relationships of husband, wife, and parents and children and siblings and so forth. So we all have relationships. So let me give you the first word. The first word is value. Value. Well, just think with me for a moment. Relationships are built on value. The opposite of value is disrespect or devalue. This is not an unfamiliar portion of Scripture. A number of our teenagers memorized it, and I did too. I must tell you, I would need to do some review to quote it to you again tonight. But Psalm chapter 139, go there for a moment, please. Psalm 139, and just from these words, for a few verses here, I want to challenge you to think maybe in a way you haven't thought for a while. This is that wonderful psalm that talks about you can't get away from God. He searched you. He knows you when you get up, when you sit down. He knows your thinking. He knows everything about you. And you can't escape him. You can go to the farthest reaches of the earth. You can't get away from him. You go to the highest heaven and the lowest hell. You can't get away from him. And then in that passage, he says, I will praise thee, verse 14. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How great is the sum of them? When you were reading that, if you were making application of that on a personal level, which is what we try to do, and which is right, I want you to stop now and realize that every other person in this room who has a relationship with you was reading that also. And they were reading it as personal to them. So that means that every person in this room who's in a relationship with me was fearfully and wonderfully made. They were designed and planned by God. And He has marvelous thoughts and numerous thoughts of them and toward them. So they are created by Him. They are cared for by Him. They are treasured by Him. If we would approach our relationships with that scenario in mind, we would have a great deal of more peace in our lives. Paul understood that. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, two or three times to various churches, he said, look, esteem your brother, your sister, better than yourself. In Romans chapter 12, he said, I say unto you through the grace given unto me that to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly and righteously, according as God hath given a measure of faith to every man. And then a little later, and by the way, that latter part of Romans chapter 12 is full of little exhortations that are excellent if you want to know how to govern your relationships. But one of them is, be kindly affectionate to one another, and then esteem others better than yourself. Esteem them more highly than yourself. It just simply means to value them, to see them as God sees them, to understand. What you and I are doing is we're evaluating them from our perspective and how we see them, and evaluating them on the basis of when they came in and how they came in to our relationship or to the family, rather than as seeing them as a divine, purposive creation of God who He clearly made to be as they are, and who He delights in and has a plan for. I was thinking a lot about verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. You know how I usually read that? How precious also are thy thoughts of me. Now, I do believe that that is intended here. I do believe that that is acceptable interpretation. But have you ever stopped to think about God's thoughts? I forget how many thoughts I read one time, and I've told you before, But, you know, the problem with age is memory. I can't remember how many thoughts, 10,000 or more, we have every day. We think a lot. And before every action we take, usually, now there are some actions that are automatic, that we just do them out of habit. But before we take action, usually on a case or make a decision or whatever, we think a lot. I mean, we process a lot of thoughts. A lot of thoughts run through our mind, and we think about this scenario and that scenario and this scenario and that scenario. And we're just one person thinking about one life. Think about God and his thought life. Because every deed, everything that a man does or everything that a man speaks is preceded by thought. They originate from thought. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And wow, if I would count them, they are more in number than the sand. It'd be impossible for you to ever count all the grains of sand on the earth. Impossible. But even if you could, his thoughts are more than that, so you still wouldn't know how to number his thoughts. And those thoughts are thoughts toward you and thoughts toward the person you're in a relationship with. We need to learn to value one another. And when we value something, we respect it. We treasure it. Number two, I would give you the word restore. Or perhaps the word repair. Restore or repair. The opposite of that is apathy or indifference. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The latter part of Ephesians chapter 4 is very much about relationships. And every couple that I have ever counseled in preparation for marriage, we have spent two or three sessions talking about the principles delineated here in Ephesians 4 about relationships, and particularly in the area of communication within relationships. But one of the things we note here is verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And I think the next verse is connected. "Neither give place to the devil." When you don't take care of things, things are going to get worse. I think Brother Marvin, Brother Phil, and those who work out on the farm would agree with that. If you have a problem, you better do something about it. Because if you don't, it's going to get worse. So act at the first, not at the worst. Act at the first, not at the worst. The book of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14 talks about this principle. The beginning of strife is like the letting out of water. You know, that water finds a way out. It's going to get bigger. It's going to be a bigger problem. You better fix it in a hurry. Right? That's the principle. Tomorrow morning, or tonight, if you get to the house and before you go to bed, you say, "I'm going to check my messages," and you check your phone and your cell phone is not working. Do you want me to believe that it will be a month, maybe two, maybe six? Maybe you'll get around to it. Or will you, before you pillow your head, be on the phone to the cable company or to the internet service or your phone service provider and looking for help? How about if your internet service goes down? How about if your car won't start? How about if your house has a serious breach or problem? I know what we do. We fix it. But when it comes to breaches in relationship, when it comes to troubles within the relationship, it'll fix itself. I'll worry about it tomorrow. We put it off, and it is only going to get worse. We must take the initiative. Our Lord is the perfect example. God at the beginning of sin, at the beginning of transgression, shows up and addresses the problem and fixes the problem. The relationship has been breached, and he shows up to patch that relationship. He doesn't let it go. He deals with it. That's what we must do. Our tendency is not to, and we need to be honest tonight and say, why? We would not treat our cell phone that way. We wouldn't treat our appliances that way. We depend on those things. We need those things, and we're going to get right after it and get it fixed. I suppose the reason why we don't is because pride. Because it might mean us having to be humble. It might mean us having to say, I'm sorry. It might mean us having to eat crow or to do something we don't want to do or go a step further. The third word is serve. Serve. Relationships are built on value and repair, willingness to address issues, and service. Service. Be a servant. Our Lord Jesus is the supreme example, and he said to his disciples there in John 13, before he taught them that those truths we talked about today in chapter 15, he taught them by illustration how to be a servant. He got up from the table and took off his outer garments and put on an apron of a servant and got a basin of water and a towel and got down to wash the feet of his disciples and said, I'm among you as he that serveth. And as you've seen me do, so do ye one to another. Relationships survive when there is service. Relationships thrive when there is a commitment to serve. Serving is meeting the needs of another. The opposite, of course, to service is selfishness. Let's just ask a couple questions and evaluate where we are here. Here's question number one. Is this what you say? How was your day today? That's servant. And the willingness then to hear how the day was and listen to how the day was. I read a quote this week that said, we listen more, most of us listen to learn. Or excuse me, let me stop and start again. We listen in order to formulate an answer instead of listening to learn. But is that what it is? Is it all revolving around me? How did your day go today? Am I interested in you? How about this one? What you're going to do on weekends and holidays and free time, vacation time, do those plans revolve all around you or around the other parties in the relationship? So I love football, so my weekends are all going to be football. Is that going to help my relationship? Now, it might be that that will be okay, but I'm simply saying we ought to ask ourselves, does everything revolve around me? That's not the way to build or maintain or keep a relationship. That's selfishness. Do you know the interests of the other party in your relationship? Whether it's your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad, your brother, your sister, do you know what they like? Do you know what they're interested in? Do you know what they enjoy? Do you know the latest book they read? Do you know the latest friends they have made? Do you know the grades they got at school? Do you know those things? If you know them, then that indicates a servant's heart. If you don't, that indicates a selfish heart. It's all about me. And not wanting to be involved or bothered or troubled by others. Now, please don't go too far, because we're not supposed to be busybodies. But you understand what I'm saying. You should be aware. You should know. You should be interested. Are you concerned tonight or tomorrow or the next day? Are you concerned about how your family makes you look? Listen to those words. About how your family makes you look. If so, it's all about you. You ought to be more concerned about how your family looks, not how they make you look. You ought to be more concerned about being a blessing to them than them being a burden to you. And by the way, all of these principles in relationships don't just apply to the home relationships. They apply to the church family relationships. Are you a servant? Servants are managers of time. Time is the most valuable possession anyone in this room has. More valuable than money. And we all have the same amount of time. It's not about really time management. It's about managing yourself in the use or investment of your time. How are you investing your time? What are you investing your time in? By the way, time, someone said, is how children spell love. Not toys. That's not how they spell love. Not TV time. Not things. Time. And I would suspect that if children say that, I'm sure many wives say the same thing. That's how you spell love, time. You have any time for me? What are you investing your time in? The Bible encourages us in Ephesians 5, the very chapter that gets into the relationships of husbands and wives, but also it's in the context of the church. But he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, because the days are evil. See that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Making the most of your time. To redeem time or to walk circumspectly is to be constantly watching for an opportunity to make the most of the opportunity. The best way I can describe it is when I was playing football, I was in one season, I got to play running back. And the running back that is most valuable to his team is the running back. He runs according to the play. So the quarterback calls a play and he knows where everybody's supposed to be blocking. So he knows the assignments and he knows the hole that he's supposed to be going through. Everything is set. However, the best running back is the one who is keeping his head up and he's going in that direction, but he's paying attention. If the opening is not there, he's looking for an opening. He's looking for an opportunity. So he's got the ball, and he's trying to make yardage, and he's looking for an opportunity, alert to find the first opportunity to make yards. That's the idea of walking circumspectly or redeeming the time. Are you and I in our relationships looking for opportunities to make the most of our time? An opportunity where we can invest the time to the greatest advantage. You all have heard the story, and I'm just going to bring it to you again, and we're going to be done in just a moment. But you've heard the story about the guy who was a time management expert, and he was teaching a group of executives about time management. And he brought a big wide-mouth jar, set it on the table. He had some things there with him, and he had some large rocks, and he took the large rocks and put them in the jar. And he got seven or eight of them in there, and then that was it. He couldn't get any more of those rocks in there. And so he asked them, he said, "Is the jar full?" And several of them answered, "Yes. Can't get any more in it, any more big rocks in it. It's full." But he said, "It's not full." So then he took a bag and he had some pebbles or small rocks, small stones, pebble-like rocks, and he started pouring them in, and they found their way past the rocks, of course, and into those holes and down to the bottom, and he poured as much of that in until he couldn't pour any more in. And he said, "Now is it full?" And they had already learned their lesson, so nobody really wanted to say anything. They were thinking to themselves, "Yeah, it looks full," but they weren't going to say it. And he said, "It's not." He had another bag, and it was full of fine sand. And he took the fine sand and began to pour it slowly onto the rocks. And that fine sand found its way and filtered its way down into the very holes and crevices. And until he was done, he couldn't get any more in there. And he said, "Is it full?" And the answer again was no. And he took a pitcher of water and he began to pour the water, and the water filled every other space that was available, not taken up by the rocks, the pebbles, or the fine sand. And then he said to them, "Do you know what the lesson is here?" And according to what I heard, almost every one of them said, "Yes, it's very obvious." And that is that no matter how busy you are, no matter how many things are in your schedule, you can always fit something else in. And he said, "No, that's not the lesson. The lesson is this. Unless you put the big things in first, you'll never fit them in. So decide what the big things are and get them done. And then let everything else fall into place." So decide what the big things are. Be aware of opportunity. Think of what the big things are in reference to your relationships with your employers, with your employees, with your family, with your church family. Think of what is big and do that first. Be a servant. Be wise in the use of time. Relationships are built on valuing others, working to restore and repair when a breach is made, and being a servant. "This is my commandment, that you love one another," Jesus said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments tonight to share together in your word. I pray that something said might have a resonating answer in the heart of a hearer, and someone will be helped in strengthening the relationships. And Lord, would you help us all to leave this room knowing that isolation, being on our own, is not your plan nor your will. It is not what we need. It is not good. You want us. You built us to have relationships. And you demonstrated that from the very start. So help us to take them seriously as we are in this Family Day weekend and we're thinking about these things. Help us, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to further grow in these areas as we might slip down to Faith Baptist and spend an evening and a day there considering these relationships, the family, and being filled with grace. Thank you for your mercies to us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.